Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
If we're not careful, the devil can trick us and bring us into places of bondage and weakness. If we're not aware of his tactics, Paul says in that Ephesians 6 passage, we're aware of his, no, another place in his writings. We understand his tactics. We know how he works. And so we need to learn how to recognize that. And I believe God wants to bring every one of us to a place of greater freedom. Don't you? And sometimes to do that, he has to shine lights on areas where the devil has kind of gotten a hold. You remember the testimony of Jesus before he went to the cross. We've used this many times. He said, the prince of this world is coming. Now, who's he talking about? That's Satan. That's the devil. Satan thought he had him in a vulnerable place, and I can take over, I can defeat him once and for all, and I'll be the God that I intended to be in the beginning. But Jesus had this testimony. He's coming, but he has no hold on me. There has never been a single part of my being that has yielded to him and given him a hold. But the reality is, Satan is constantly trying through our nature to get a hold on us one way or another. And I'll tell you, as soon as we yield to that, it's like he puts a leash on us. And we have to do, I mean, we're in bondage to him, and we'd like to do this, but we're not free. Sometimes, and a lot of times, we don't even realize it. Do you think the Lord wants us to know these things and realize them? Do you think he has a spirit of condemnation in doing that? Or is it his love that's showing us our need because he wants us to come to him and be free? One of the scriptures that I had thought about is one that we've used many times in Romans chapter 6. Because Paul is dealing with the gospel. And, of course, the question is, in fact, he finishes chapter 5 with the idea that grace reigns. And so he asks the question, beginning in chapter 6, what shall we say then? What's the conclusion of all of this? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? Obviously, the answer is no. That's exactly what we're being delivered from. A lot of people's version of the gospel is that he saves me in my sin instead of saves me from my sin. There is a perfect balance that God wants to bring us to, where we can absolutely have practical victory over anything that the devil would use to hinder us. We can gain that victory and come into greater and greater places of freedom in him. And so Paul then unlocks the foundation of that is going right back to the cross. It wasn't just that he died for me to eliminate my guilt. I died in him. I laid my life down, and that comes to pass. When we're baptized, that's what we are testifying. I am laying down my life. It is not mine anymore. It is his. Okay? And I'm doing that so that I can be free from the power of sin that would rule over me. The same principles that operate so freely in this world, they don't have a place in me. And God's delivering me from that, and he's teaching me step by step as I grow so that I can recognize things and learn to say no, because I have the power to say no because I died back there. Something happened that's real. I got a place to go every time. Okay? But there's the way he puts some of this. Okay, let me go down here. It says, in the same way, count yourselves. He died. He died to sin. He rejected it. He renounced it. In the same way, count, verse 11, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the way we need to see ourselves, the way God sees us. All right? You died, but you're alive. You need to be alive to me. Okay? Therefore, what's the conclusion of that fact? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do you think it's going to try? Do you think it does more than we would like to admit? Yeah, sadly it does. But the fact is, God wants us to learn to take hold of what He has given us and learn that we have the power and the responsibility to say no. And as we do, we're going to grow up and we're going to experience more and more of the life that He gave to us, okay? Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. So it's not just don't do this, it's do that. All right, we need to come to God and say, Lord, I'm yours. Offer myself as living sacrifice. Allow Him to change the way I see things. I need to learn to see myself and the world around me through His eyes. Now, I'll certainly see what's wrong, and yet if I see it through His eyes and with His heart, I'm going to have a spirit of compassion for people. It's not going to make me hateful, but it's certainly going to make me have clear convictions about stuff so that I know that I can't be party to that. I can't go the way the world is going. I can't adopt its values. I can't be in fellowship with the world and expect to enjoy this fellowship and this freedom that Christ has paid such a price to buy. Praise God. All right? But rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought to from death to life, and offer every part of yourself, every part, to Him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law but under grace. Grace is God's power. Not simply you're free to do as you please. Boy, that's how some people see it. God deliver us. I need power. I don't need God just telling me what to do. I need Him helping me do it. We've said that many times. But then he paints a picture about slavery. Folks, we are either going to be slaves in a good sense to God, able to obey Him, hearing instruction from Him, which is loving and for our good and for our eternal good, or we are going to be slaves to sin. That's what the devil was after. That's what he was after with Jesus. He's after that with us. Every case, he is after taking control of our lives and leading us in certain directions to start to do certain things that basically the motivation behind it is what our nature wants. And he will give you all kinds of wonderful rationales. You know, I mean, we told you what a rationale is. A rationale is a reason you come up with after you've already decided to do something. It doesn't lead you to the right conclusion. It says, I want to do this. I've got to come up with a good reason why that's okay. And that's how the devil works. He will come up with all kinds of good reasons why, no, this is perfectly innocent. This is that, or, you know. What we don't realize, what we don't see, is the enemy of our souls literally feeding all of this into our spirits. And if we receive it and listen to it, what he's doing is fashioning a leash on us, and we suddenly are becoming his servant for all practical purposes. And there's one thing about sin, it is addictive. If you're feeding anything into your nature that is in harmony with your nature, and it's feeding it, our natures cannot be satisfied. I don't care what you ever do, you will never find peace or true satisfaction by feeding human nature. And so all the devil does is lead us down tracks that put us in prison. And God help us to recognize, hey, I see where this is coming from. That's why Peter says, be sober. Pay attention. Be vigilant, watchful, because your adversary, he's against us, folks. Your adversary, the devil, goes about, and what does he liken his going about as? It's a roaring lion. What's the roaring lion after? Food. Guess who the food is? You. He wants to feed on your human nature. That's the only thing that can possibly begin to satisfy the appetite of a devil. We said this many times. They are miserable unless they can actually exercise their nature through human flesh. It's not enough just to be out there as a disembodied spirit. They're going to have to come and get us to do their will and to serve their purposes, and they're going to get their jollies and the nearest thing they can get to satisfaction through us. Well, I don't want this to satisfy any or feed any devil. And I'll guarantee every single one of us has done that in one way or another, at one time or another. I'm so thankful that God has provided a way out, a way of salvation. I'm so glad there's a place when I come to the knowledge of that I can go and find forgiveness and find help. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for all that He's given to us in Christ. Well, praise God. Where was I going to go next? Thank the Lord. How about Galatians chapter 5? Because Paul deals with some of this head on. The problem with the church in Galatia was they were Gentile church. And after Paul had come in there to give them the gospel, some other teachers had come in and said, the gospel is great, but you still got to keep the law of Moses. And so it started to impose a whole lot of law and legalism on them. And Paul is coming against that and saying, no, there's another way where we can be righteous in a practical sense than just, here are the laws, obey them, because I don't have the strength again to do that. And so that's the underlying theme of this. Do we live under grace or do we live under law? Where does freedom come from? And part of what the gospel has done is set us free from having to try to gain acceptance with God through the law. Then there's a freedom that has been established in Christ. That's the freedom. And so he begins chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and so forth. And he's talking again about the issue. But now we're coming down to verse 13, he's going to begin to lay out some of this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Thank God. But, let's have some understanding here. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Okay, so the purpose of my freedom from the guilt of sin and freedom from having to try to serve God under the law is not so I can have freedom to let my flesh exercise itself, to let my natural desires, you know, I can go so far and it's okay. I'm doing, you know, this feels good, that feels good, so it must be okay. After all, it's all taken care of. Oh, God, help us to understand human nature. God, give us an honest heart to understand ourselves, but to understand His help and His love and His grace. Put it all in balance. All right? For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So right there, it's not focused on me, is it?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.